This is the State of Things from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. Thank you. The American economy is producing poverty at an accelerated rate, particularly in the South. And a new report from the Brookings Institution ranks four North Carolina cities among the top 15 metro areas where poverty rates are climbing the fastest. Two of them right here in the Triad, Winston-Salem and Greensboro High Point, all made the list along with Raleigh and Charlotte. These metro areas saw poverty rates grow more than 75% from 2000 to 2012. And it turns out that suburban areas surrounding these cities are hit particularly hard. We are joined by two people working on poverty issues in the state. Tracy Dorsett is a program officer at Z. Smith Reynolds Foundation. She works on funding community economic development initiatives. Welcome, Tracy. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Also with us is Michelle Kennedy. She's executive director of the Interactive Resources Center. It's a Greensboro-based community organization that assists people experiencing homelessness. Michelle, welcome to both of you.
Thanks.
You and to Tracy. Thank you for being here. So, Michelle, that you're sort of on the ground in some ways looking at what can be done and what's happening in terms of poverty. What are the biggest misconceptions, Michelle, because you're working with us every day at the Interactive Resource Center, some of the biggest misconceptions we have about poverty and the people in poverty?
I think one of the largest misconceptions is that folks who are living in poverty are unemployed. Many of the guests we see at the Interactive Resource Center are, in fact, employed. They just aren't making enough money to support themselves in a way that would help them transition out of poverty. And there really is no one face to poverty. It's not this kind of stereotype that people have in their heads. So really anyone who's working class or below is just a couple of steps away, a couple of missed paychecks away from living in poverty themselves.
And this is a kind of a strange thing. When we think of poverty, possibly we think about people in unfortunate circumstances. Things have happened and it caused them to lose some of their wealth, some of their money. But we're seeing a time when the business economy is growing. We're coming out of the deep recession of 2008, and everything else in terms of economic indicators is improving. The poverty rate is also growing. What's behind this, and how do you see that every day at IRC?
Well, I think it's certainly things like cuts to safety net programs, which people need to use as a springboard to move out of poverty. It's things like lack of access to living wage jobs. And it really doesn't matter if you're a single person or a two-wage earning family. You can't survive off $7.25 an hour. So the minimum wage is not a living wage. We haven't had a lot of new job creation even coming out of the recession. And it's just a difficult situation all the way around.
Yeah, and I think that's just an important thing for consumers to understand, media consumers to understand. You will hear reports, even on NPR, about an improving economy. Things are getting better. You'll hear phrases like that. Those improvements come because of increases in productivity, which means in many cases cutting jobs. Mm-hmm. Fewer jobs means increased productivity and therefore making it harder for people on the ground, which is what increases poverty. The other surprise to me is the amount of suburban poverty. The rates are growing faster in the suburban areas than in the inner cities.
I think that really comes down to a lack of access, whether you're talking about something like transit access so that folks can get from suburban areas to more urban areas to access services and programs that they need, or whether you're talking about actual organizations and providers on the ground in those areas to be able to help people, again, spring back out of poverty. Without those resources, it's very difficult to do that. So I don't think it's surprising that it's hitting suburbia in the way that it is.
And there's also been an influx in population in terms of the change in population in suburban areas. Tell us a little about that.
So I think certainly more and more folks are moving into suburban areas for a couple of reasons. One of those reasons is it's more expensive to live in an urban landscape. Mm-hmm. So it's not surprising that folks are moving to more rural or more suburban areas to be able to afford the cost of living. But with that move away from the urban landscape gets you further away from the services you need and the supports you need to be able to move yourself in a more positive direction.
And you may have broken away from an extended family network, some of whom stayed behind. And so all of those things, both social services and social safety
net, social supports, yeah.
All of those things are lacking. Tracy, let's step back a little bit. I want to get a statewide perspective and take a look at the statewide numbers that you're dealing with. What are you seeing as a kind of a program officer, somebody who's trying to handle this problem?
Well, there's a lot of things that I'm seeing, and I think starting with highlighting that the state has an 18% poverty rate, which is obscene in terms of here in North Carolina. We at the foundation feel that that's a huge indicator that communities and families across the state are economically fragile and are really challenged to meet some of their basic needs, let alone be able to access resources that can move them out of poverty and also then fully participate in North Carolina's economy. At the foundation, along with that indicator, we feel that this issue around the wealth gap here in North Carolina is really exacerbating poverty and really is contributing to families across the state being economically insecure, and that's a really big challenge. So at the foundation, we've really had an explicit focus to not only focus to really target the wealth gap, but in particularly the racial and gender wealth gap that really impacts women and communities of color at disproportionate rates here in the state.
You've actually commissioned some research that really puts a fine point on that. Tell us about it.
We actually commissioned a total of three reports between 2009 and 2010, one from a national think tank called Insight, which is this Community Economic Development Center, and also from UNC Center on Poverty. And what came out of those reports were some startling information about North Carolina. North Carolina actually, pre-recession numbers, ranked a seventh around the racial gender wealth gap when compared to other states all over. North Carolina also ranked ninth around asset poverty rate, meaning that communities and families had less than 3 months of resources to even subsist at the federal poverty level, which is around $24,000. And that's alarming, particularly in this economy. And it has tremendous multiplier effects in terms of how it's impacting poverty, how it's impacting communities and folks closer to the ground.
Well, I'd like you to talk a little bit more about that, this distinction between income inequality and asset inequality.
There's been a lot of conversations at a national level where they've really spotlighted income inequality. And that is a really important issue. It really talks about how do you create opportunities for people to have better jobs, people can increase their income and have got jobs that actually pay a livable wage and also have companion pieces around health care. But that's very different from increasing someone's wealth and assets, because you can increase someone's income. That does not mean that they're going to increase their ability to have access and wealth. And when I talk about wealth and assets, the things that I'm talking about is having access to a savings account, having access to a retirement account, being able to have equity in your home, being able to start a small business. Those are the things that make a big difference in an economic climate like this, and families are being pushed against the wall and are at the edge financially of dealing with a lot of struggles in their community. Wealth and assets make the difference and provide that safety net for communities to make different decisions financially for themselves and also for their children.
We're talking about the accelerating rates of poverty in North Carolina today on The State of Things. Michelle Kennedy is Executive Director of the Interactive Resources Center, Tracy Dorsett, Program Officer at Z. Smith Reynolds. So, Michelle, that's what you were talking about earlier. You see people every day at the IRC, which is a resource for people who find themselves in and out of housing, who have jobs, sometimes more than one.
Right. That's often the case, to find folks who are managing multiple part-time jobs to try to make ends meet, or more than one full-time job to try to make ends meet. So it's certainly not the case that it's just folks who aren't able to find any type of employment. But I also think it's not surprising when, again, we have cuts to safety net programs, we lose things like child care subsidies, people don't have access to affordable health care, and we haven't had any new job creation. It's not a big surprise that every major metropolitan city in North Carolina ranked on that list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, when you think about it, I mean, I have a job. It has benefits. It has vacations. So when my father gets sick and I have to travel across the country to help take care of him, I can take 2 weeks off, and I get paid. I own a house. That house is always increasing in value because I have an equity stake in the house. Now, I've got a lot of cushion when things go wrong in my life. When the people at the IRC can barely take a day off to go see the doctor for the treatment of chronic illness.
No, that's right. You know, a good example is a guest of ours who was employed by a big box retailer, and his sister was facing the end of her life, and so he wanted to take time to spend time with his sister. And his employer basically told him, either come to work or you don't have a job. And he made the decision that I think many of us would make, which is to put his family first. Within 2 months, he had lost his apartment, he had become homeless, and once you've lost your job and become homeless, it makes it that much harder for you to get another job. So it's that quick. And it could literally happen to anyone in that situation.
And so, Tracy, that's when, if you're trying to build assets and build equity, you can never get far enough ahead to buy a stake to get a retirement plan or a house or anything that can earn money while you're taking the day off.
Yeah, having access to wealth and assets just makes a tremendous difference. And it does exacerbate what's happening in communities across North Carolina. And we have to figure out strategies that work towards that. I think in addition to the items that Michelle identified, there are other things statewide that are happening that's contributing to it as well. When you have these organizations like Michelle's and others that provide these safety nets, they're being defunded or also have limited financial resources to be able to provide resources and programs to communities and families. That makes a big difference. And that is something that's happening in the state. That's something that's a challenge where communities are trying to pivot from and trying to figure out how do they serve more folks and how do they be able to provide quality programs that really address the needs that are most important to them.
Well, and not to mention limiting the number of people who could take advantage of Medicaid and other support services. Wish we had more time, but I want to thank you both for being on the program. Tracy Dorsett is a program officer at the Zeith Smith Reynolds Foundation, and Michelle Kennedy, executive director of the Greensboro-based Interactive Resources Center. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
Just ahead, the art and craft of poetry, but first, Greensboro musician Layla Noor. Layla.
This is real.